I'm just going to be real open and honest with you this morning and let you know that this passage in the book of Ephesians has been one that I have been praying about for months. The passage on husband and wife relationships. Now you may ask or may wonder why, or maybe you have a pretty good idea why, but as has already been alluded to, marriage, the institution of marriage, is something that is being, frankly, destroyed in our culture. I could say it's being redefined, but a redefinition is destruction of something that God has designed, an institution that He has put into place for our good, for our pleasure, for His glory. And as we approach this passage today, there are some very important things that we have to understand. One of them, and this is personal, one of them is I am not pointing my finger at you and your marriage. Okay? Although you may feel like I am sticking it right in your gut. Listen. God wants us to talk about this. And God wants us to deal honestly with the truths that are found in this passage. And if they stick you in the gut, then you wake up and pay attention. Because God's truth, when we're not abiding by it, has that effect. And praise be to God. Praise be to God. And as a church, as your preacher, as your pastor, I am called upon to minister faithfully His word, whatever it may say. I will seek to undo it in love and grace, but nevertheless, the truth will have its power. Secondly, the context of this passage is Christian marriage. And this is important. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. He is writing to professing believers, people who know Christ. There are other passages in the Bible, in the New Testament, that will deal with marriages where there is a saved spouse and an unsaved spouse. Some of what we talk about today will apply. Some of it may, you may have to go to other passages to help you understand. Because I believe this passage, in its context, is for husbands and wives who are believers, specifically. Now, there are some things that will branch out, but I want us to understand that is the specific context. So, therefore, we're speaking to the church being saved individuals, people that know Jesus Christ, this morning. So, turning your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to read the passage, and then I have a few questions to ask you. I'm going to start in verse 21, mainly because I believe it is the swinging door between the passage preceding and the one to follow. In other words, we have talked about being filled with the Spirit. We've talked about those participles of what that looks like, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always, and now submitting yourselves, verse 21, one to another in the fear of God. So key, because remember, that provides the platform upon which we're going to stand our marriages, our relationships with husband and wife, children and parents, with workers and bosses, employers, employees. So submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's the context in which we all are to be operating. All. No matter if you are the husband or if you're the wife, if you are the dad or the child, if you're the boss or if you are the worker. We are all to be submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. In other words, we're all on the same playing field. Okay? We're all under God. We're all submitting to Him. We are all to be walking in fear of Him. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let me ask you some questions. And I'm just going to ask you to pray for me as I preach, because I feel like I'm plowing through darkness. I really do. Let me ask you some questions here. And I'm not saying that you're in darkness. I'm just saying this is something that doesn't want to be said, okay? I'm going to ask you these questions. Listen. Ephesians 5:22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." What is your initial reaction to that statement? Think about it. What is your initial reaction to that statement? "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Is it a positive? Positive reaction? Or is it a negative? I wholeheartedly agree, or I begrudgingly agree, or I doubt that it be true. Okay? I was going to have you do a little tally to mark these your answers. If you want to do that, what you can do is you can mark one side of your paper and another side of the paper with a little tally if you want to. But your reaction, was it positive or was it negative? Second question. Ephesians 5:23 says, "The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." What's your initial reaction to that statement? Is it positive? I wholeheartedly agree. Or is it I begrudgingly agree? Or I doubt that it be true? Third question. The husband is the leader, the figurehead of the home. I wholeheartedly agree. Or I begrudgingly agree. Or I doubt it to be true. Fourth, the wife is to help and aid her husband. I wholeheartedly agree, or I begrudgingly agree, or I doubt it to be true. You're getting the drift here. Fifth, the husband is responsible for the well-being of his wife, the family, and his own life. I wholeheartedly agree. Or I begrudgingly agree, or doubt that it be true. Sixth, Christian marriages have the unique opportunity of being successful and enjoyable for both the husband and the wife. I wholeheartedly agree, or I begrudgingly agree, or I doubt that it be true. Number seven, I admit that I have neglected God's instructions concerning marriage and replaced it with the ways of popular culture. I agree. Yes, that is me. Or no, I have not. And number eight, I admit that my marriage could benefit from faithful practice of God's instructions found in His Word. You admit that? Or no? You're not ready for that. Why do I ask you those questions? I ask you those questions because I trust it caused you to do some self-evaluation. I trust that it causes our hearts to think about, where am I truly at? You see, depending on how you answered those questions shows the degree to which you have bought in to the lies of this world. If there are some of those questions, even one of those questions, where you answered that I begrudgingly agree or I doubt that it be true, it would be something, an area that you need to cue in on and say, you know what? Maybe I have bought into some lies that our culture has said. You know, listen, when you watch television, your shows, your movies, or whatever, are you discerning and paying attention to the relationships that you see there? Do you notice what they're teaching you? I'm not a heavy TV watcher, movie watcher, okay? So, you know, not like I have a ton of experience, but I want you to be discerning and thinking about what you're putting before you, and have you bought into that? Have you bought into that? Have you noticed that sometimes a husband or the man of the home, if they're even married today, the husband is belittled? Have you noticed that? Made to look like a buffoon sometimes, or look like a fool? Now, we've all heard this comment. Who wears the pants? You heard that comment? Or how about the discussions at work or wherever you are about who's in charge at the house? References to the old woman, the old man, of total disrespect and disregard for marriage, unity, I feel, and the way things are communicated. Forgive me if that's an endearing term in your home. If it is, that's fine. But self-evaluation, where are you at? Because this is an important thing. The goal here, one of the questions was, are you teachable? Do you have a teachable spirit about you concerning this matter? Or are you entrenched? Because I tell you, there has been a movement, as you very well know, many of us have grown up with it, where there has been a movement, especially among women, to get rid of headship. Okay? To rid themselves of the headship of the man. In other words, women want to be... Now, I totally agree that there has been times in our history where women have been treated poorly and been suppressed, and I totally agree with that. But it almost seems like we have swung the pendulum in a whole different direction into a whole other extreme where we have disregarded God's institution and design of marriage. And church, we've got to get this right. Otherwise, the world is going to have a skewed view. God expects us in the church to do it right. Are you? Are we? Now, I've prayed about this passage. You know, you've heard this passage preached. I've heard this passage preached. How do we attack this passage? How do we look at this passage? Here's what I believe God wants us to do, and I believe we're going to do this in 3 weeks. We're not going to cover it all today. It'd be nice, but we would be here for a couple hours. That was a pastor laughing in the back. So here's what we're going to do. Today we're going to break this passage down into three sections. And first we're going to look at the roles, specifically submission, headship, or you could say the posture of marriage. If you like fancy outlines and P's here, we could call the roles the posture of marriage. And we're going to specifically deal with submission, headship. That aspect, the role aspect, the posture that the man and the woman are to be having in the marriage relationship. Secondly, we'll be looking at the practice in marriage, or the relationship aspect. So we got the roles, the posture, the relationship, the practice. And there we're going to be looking at the concept of love and respect. We're going to be looking at the command that the husband is given to love his wife, and that's the meat of the passage, really. That's the bulk of what you're going to see here. Love, the husband is to love his wife, and the woman, the wife, is to respect or reverence her husband. This is the relationship aspect. And then thirdly, and you'll be all excited about this one, the reality, the perspective in marriage, the oneness, the two becoming one. And I believe each one of these are key in understanding marriage. You understand your posture, understand the practice, understand the right perspective. All right, I better get hustling if we're going to cover this. Look at your Bibles. We've already talked about Ephesians 5:21. It sets the platform. We're all on the same playing field. Verse 22, wives. All right, this is to wives. Okay, so very clearly, Paul, in his writing here, he's addressing a specific group of people. He's addressed wives, he's going to address husbands, children, parents, fathers, employer or masters and slaves or servants. Very specific addresses here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In these three verses, I believe we see highlighted our roles. We see highlighted submission and headship. Now, that statement, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Ladies, do you bristle at that? I'm not a lady. I don't know. I don't know how that might come across. Here's what I believe God wants us to understand. Is that I believe God wants us to put aside the negative connotations that we have so often placed upon submission and headship, and replace them with the blessing, reality, the truth, the wonder of something that God has designed. Now let's be honest here. If God's word says something, is it not true that he expects that of us, and therefore it is something that is possible for us to do? Yes? Mm-hmm. And it is something that is we can do and experience joy and gladness and blessing. Yes. So God's word says something. Let's not approach it with this aspect of, ugh, why do we have to do this? Or why do we have to approach it or talk about it? No. You see, God's sharing this with us because he wants your marriage to be a success. You know, something that the counselor, the gentleman that married Julia and I, something that he shared with us in our premarital counseling was this. God has designed your marriage to be successful. That was special. Why? That gave us some hope. You know, that gave us, you know what? God puts his stamp of approval upon marriage. And when you do it his way, it's designed to be successful. It's designed to be a blessing. It's designed to be wonderful. In the passage in verse 22, where it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, that word submit yourselves is borrowed from verse 21. And so you see how closely linked those two verses are. And the important thing that you're noticing here is that the submitting aspect now is being focused directly to the wife. It does not say here, husbands, submit yourselves unto your wives. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. So what we're automatically seeing here is we're seeing a difference. There's a difference in roles. There's a difference in expectations from God, God's expectations. Now, as we look at this, I want you to understand something also. It does compare the wife's submission to the husband to the church submission to Christ. The husband is not equal to Christ because the husband is not perfect. It is the submission that the church shows to Christ that is equal to the submission that a wife should show to her husband. Do we understand that? In other words, the comparison that is being focused upon in the passage is the submission. Now, Christ is the head of the church, and we have studied that throughout this passage, and we have seen that Jesus Christ, he is the head of the body, and members, we are all members of it, and God has designed it to work and operate, to be a healthy body of his. And the church is in that position of submission to him. A willingness to place oneself under the authority of another. Key words in that definition are willingness or willingly. As I was talking about this message with my wife, she had a very unique insight, and I want to share it with you because it's coming from a female perspective, and I didn't coerce her to say this. She brought about this point, and I thought it was very discerning. When you think of submission, you can think of it in two ways. One, you can think of it like on the wrestling mat, when you have your opponent down on the ground and you've got them in so much pain that they tap out, they have submitted to you. Now, yes, they have submitted to you. They've said, I submit to you your authority. But where's their heart? Have they really submitted in their heart? Or is it just on the playing on the mat? And just in an appearance-wise, they've submitted, but in their heart, they can't wait to get back out there and get them. You could have that aspect of submission in a marriage. My wife called that surrendering. Where I surrender to you, husband, I surrender to your ways and what you want to do. But in the heart, you're... And in the heart, you begrudge him. And when he is not around, you do your own thing. So there's surrender. Or is it true submission through and through? Whereas, yes, there's the outward, I will do what you want me to do. But there is the heart that follows along and pushes you to do and please your Lord by pleasing your husband. What a big difference, isn't there? Surrendering, or are you truly submitting? So wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as to the Lord. You know, wives, let's get positive here. You are in a very privileged position. You may say, yeah, right. Easy for you to say. Wives, you're in a very privileged position. Why? Because you are under the protection of not only your husband, but also the Lord. Because in this passage, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And the qualification there is so precious for you ladies. Because it places you, and I've seen this picture, but it places you, you have the umbrella of God's care. And then underneath that umbrella of God's care, you have the husband and his umbrella of care. And underneath the husband, you have the wife. And the storms of life that will come, yes, Christ meets them. The husband meets them, and then the wife. And the wife, women, you are under his protection and his care. We're going to talk more of that in the relationship aspect, the love aspect. But listen, as you talk about the submission, I want to urge you to see this as a positive place that you are in, where you are under the protection of not just the Lord, but also your husband, or of not just your husband, but even the Lord. Why is that any better? Well, listen, the husbands are called out as the head, as the leader, as the ones that go before, as the ones that are to be the leader, the figurehead, the authority in the home and in the relationship. You see, as we talk about the submission and headship, you know what, the command is not just for ladies here, but men, in order for the lady to understand submission, men, you've got to get the headship right. You gotta understand what God is doing and placing you in that point, in that position of authority. As I counsel, as I encourage people in marriages, one thing that I try to emphasize to the husband is this: you are responsible to create an environment in the home where it makes it easy for your wife to submit. Now, I'm not saying you just roll over and let her do what she wants. No, you lead. But you lead in a way that is gentle and kind, that is secure and safe, that you bring about a confidence in the relationship and in the home, where your woman, where your wife just can't help but want to be a part of your life and to serve you and to help you. Create that environment, gentlemen. The roles are different, very different. What our culture is trying to do is to blend them. Our culture is trying to say that women have every right to that same position of headship and authority as that of the husband. And I want to tell you something, that although that may work for some time, that relationship, if you were to get into the nuts and bolts of it and talk to their and see their intimate hearts and conversations, you would discern tragedy and dysfunction. The roles are different. But you got to buy that. You got to buy into that, because that's what God's word is teaching us. And thereby, the roles being different, the response, the command is different. Wives, you are to be willingly placing yourselves under the authority, the headship of your husbands. You are to be operating in such a way that it makes it easy for your husband to lead. Is your husband having to pull you along? Is there discussions in your marriage where you are begrudgingly holding on to something? I once heard of a pastor and his wife. He was called in his heart to go and minister in New York City in a planted church. The wife, she was not for that. She was not excited about that and did not want to go in that direction. So the husband just diligently prayed and asked God to bring them to a unity in their decision. And they would from time to time communicate and talk about this decision. Interesting the way God worked. Because what God did was this. God did not bring them to an agreement as to this is the right decision. But what God did do was God brought them to a right portrayal of their roles, a right posture, where the husband, leading with gentleness and kindness, was convicted and convinced by God that this was something he was to do. And the wife came to the point where she was willing to say, although this is not something I desire to do, I will do it. And God has blessed that ministry, and that ministry is flourishing. And perhaps you have heard this man speaking on the radio. You see, after that pastor shared that, he shared this principle. He said, you will have decisions in your marriages where you will not agree, where you will not come down on the same point with the same answer. But what the important thing is that you understand your roles, and that if it comes down to it, the husband is the tiebreaker. That has stuck with me. You know, headship is a very, very delicate position. You get shot at, you get hurt, you're going ahead, you're going behind, you're coming behind. You're protecting, you're keeping safe, you're instructing, you're discipling, all these things. Wife, you can be such a blessing. As you come alongside, and as Genesis tells us, be the helpmate that God has designed you to be. The helper. The one that is so crucial, that brings such glory in the marriage. A completion that only can be of God. The roles. So what? What about this? Remember those questions I asked you? I trust you have a positive understanding of submission and headship. I trust that you are teachable concerning these matters, and I trust that you are excited to hear what else God has to say about marriage. I trust you'll read this passage with a hunger and a thirst to know His truth and start practicing these things in your life and your marriage. I trust, husband and wife, that you will have an honest conversation with one another about what does submission and headship look like in our home? What does God want it to look like? Have that conversation. Talk about it. What does God want our home to look like? I would be naive if I just assumed that everybody's marriages were strong and healthy and well. Maybe you're here today and you've got a spouse that is not walking with the Lord, not practicing the headship or the submission. Maybe they're not teachable, not willing to sit down and talk about these things. You know, God knows all of those things. And if that is you, begin now to begin praying about your marriage. Pray for your husband or your wife. Search the Scriptures for what He says, what God says about these things. 1 Peter chapter 3 has some wonderful insights for a relationship where there is people on two different pages. You be faithful to what God has called you to do. You perform your role to the best of your ability, that God might be glorified, and that your spouse might see Christ in you. Let me remind you, the Apostle Paul in this passage compared it to Christ in the church. And what a beautiful picture that is. We're all part of the church, right? And we are all in subjection to Him and submission to Him. Does anybody begrudge that? Maybe at times we do. But listen, He's our head. And He has given and provided so much for us. He has made it even possible to be a part of His body. It's all because of Him. And again, the husband's not equal to Christ, but you know what? That submission, that attitude of submission, that needs to count. That matters. So the roles, submission and headship, husband and wife. God, my prayer is for your church is that we would know the blessing of a godly marriage. And God, I know there are people hurting here today. I know there are relationships that are dysfunctional. And God, oh God, would you shower your grace and light into these individuals' lives and into these marriages and homes. I'm so grateful for the truth. The truth that we can cling to, we can count on. We know that as we practice your truth, you will help our marriages to be successful. Praise be to God. I pray for young people here today that are thinking about marriage, that are maybe pursuing marriage, Lord, that maybe they don't know what's in their future. But God, I pray that marriage would be a wonderful thing, that they would see it as a glorious creation of yours, and that they would approach it, Lord, with these truths in mind. May you be praised, my God. Amen.